Chapter 31. Theron was dying, and there was nothing any of his brothers could do to stop it. Fist-sized holes perforated his armour from the Dreadnought's assault cannon. The flesh beneath ravaged beyond even the miraculous capabilities of Adeptus Astartes' physiology to heal itself. The Primaris Marines stood around Theron in the Pilum's crew bay, their postures speaking of the unfamiliar frustration their helplessness was bringing on. The chaplain knelt beside Theron, disengaging the lock on the warrior's chest and removing his bulky assault pack so that he could lie flat on his back. Helios undid the clasps at Theron's collar, slowly pulling the helmet free. He lowered it into the sergeant's waiting hands, and Theron held the scarred red helm against his chest. Theron's lips parted with a red bubble as the ultramarine attempted to speak. His brothers leaned closer. The gathered Primaris Marines found the sergeant's unfocused eyes staring at each of them. "Be," Theron grimaced, and more blood poured from his mouth. "Be better than us." The last air in Theron's lungs rasped past his lips. The vital glimmer drained from his eyes. Slowly, his head fell back, resting against the back of his armoured collar as he looked lifelessly upon the ceiling. "What is our mission, Brother Chaplain?"
"I cannot," Helios began. "No."
Caprico's tone made the chaplain suddenly aware that the enhanced space marines had surrounded him.
"Tell us what our brothers gave their lives for."
Seneca nodded.
"No more secrets."
Helios closed his eyes.
"When the Great Rift opened, untold numbers of worlds were lost, entire star systems swallowed by the warp. By any measurement, it was an unthinkable cataclysm. But that was not the full extent of the damage. Hundreds, thousands of star systems that border it have been poisoned by exposure to it, and most of them are beyond our ability to save. We cannot retake the galaxy until that bleeding is stopped, and if a planet cannot be saved, then it must be purged. Some of the means to effect such a purge are stockpiled here, virus bombs. And so we have been sent here to collect them."
"Bombs," said Seneca.
"Sergeant Theron died for bombs."
Caprico stiffened.
"Kairos died for bombs. They died in the God Emperor's service."
Helios stood.
"They died following the will of the Primarch. Lord Gilliman has dispatched his sons across the galaxy to find every weapon we have to fight the darkness. Every cache known to the Imperium is being sought out and gathered by his agents, just as we are here on Quaridim."
"Is that what has become of us?" asked Nicanor. "We cannot defend our realm, so we simply destroy it to deny it to our enemies."
"Were there any other way," said Helios, "our father would have taken it. I know that in my soul. But the ruinous powers are a disease, and if we allow them to spread, all is lost."
He looked at the Primaris Marine.
"All will die."
Helios went back to one knee beside Theron. He laid a hand upon his fallen brother and began to slowly chant. The Ultramarines joined their chaplain, and high Gothic verse filled the crew bay.
"How long?"
Bellerophon asked the question again over the roar of the Thunderhawk's engines. The Warsmith's temper had grown increasingly frayed since word came from the Damnatio Memori. The message had spoken of a colossal bow wave approaching through the storms of the warp. That could mean only one thing. The Ultramarines and their hated Genesire were here. The time available for them to find and take hold of the weapons and leave Quaridim was vanishing beneath their feet.
"If you know that the Primarch is coming," said Zykon, "that his arrival is imminent, then why do we waste our time butchering the dregs of the Genesis chapter? We could have taken the cache and returned to the stars by now, sowing our vengeance by searing his worlds of life before their fleet even gets here. They are coming, and soon our only option will be facing them blade to blade. No matter our strength, that is not a contest we ever have a chance to win."
"Cowardice does not become you," hissed Benaya, "and it will not be uttered in our warsmith's presence." "Reason is not cowardice, worm," snapped Zykon. "We cannot—"
"Enough," said Bellerophon. "Don't you see? All the centuries I have spurned thoughts of fate, of destiny, and despite my denial, it has brought me here. Gilliman is coming, and you, brother, are wrong. Things have come to fruition, and soon I will have the means to exact my revenge."
"You mean the bombs?" whispered the Iron Warrior.
Benaya smiled.
The virus? Warsmith? It will kill us all.
And so, answered Bellerophon, what cost should we deem too high for our vindication? I would gladly die 1,000 times if it meant killing him just the once.